Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Walasoff.
Hi.
And, you know, Christina does it every time. She just puts one good guest on top of another. We're here with Eileen Carina, who is the president of... Excuse me?
Christina does a superb job.
Oh, she does. It's unbelievable. We're with Eileen Carina, who is the president of Pulse Center for Patient Safety Education and Advocacy. And as you've been listening, it's a shame, but, you know... Everybody should have the right to understand and get a little background information on a doctor versus me saying, oh, he's a really good guy. There's this statistical history on good things and bad things that have happened. And I know you, at the break, you said there's a program coming up that people could participate in. So could you give the event,
sure,
the time, et cetera?
Sure. We do, it's called Family-Centered Patient Advocacy Training. It is a community-based training for family members,
okay,
community members. Many healthcare professionals take this also because it's not clinical. It's all about relationships and communication and understanding the healthcare system and patient safety. And it's going to be August 20th and 21st, a Tuesday and Wednesday evening, 5:30 to 9:30 at Adelphi University School of Nursing. So we're real excited to be partnering with them for this. There is a fee of $75.
Okay.
If somebody cannot afford that, please call me at 516-579-4711.
Would you repeat that?
Yes.
Slower.
516-579-4711. Call, or you could email me or contact us if you can't afford it. We want people to be there. That's our priority, is to get people trained to help each other. Families can come together, adult children with their
Do you have
parents.
Some of these workshops at in the morning or
we
in
do.
The daytime?
We're going to have one at the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, I think it's called, in November, on Saturday, November 2nd and November 9th.
Because some senior citizens can't drive at night.
Right. Well, we're very happy to bring it to a community. We would do this in a community. The 8 hours is a little long, I think, for some people, but their adult children is who we want to come. We want people who are helping other people.
Not everybody has adult
right.
children.
Well, we want anybody to come, but we also want adult children to come who may find themselves caring for their parents.
I understand.
Or their children, somebody, and we want people to think about who's going to be my advocate when I need them, because people choose to be somebody's advocate, and it may not be appropriate. So we want people to think about now who's going to be my helper when I go to the hospital, when I go to the doctor, when I'm diagnosed with
and
something.
And can you suggest some things that you should take to the hospital with you?
Oh, absolutely.
If it's not an emergency.
Yes, absolutely. We have on our website many, many things that come from experience. Some of the things might be, of course, a notebook or a pen and paper to take notes, be prepared to take notes.
And a pen.
And a pen, right? Two pens in case one doesn't work.
Right.
And even change for vending machines if you're going to be there a while. For parking, make sure you bring cash for parking. If some places don't take credit cards, we want people to take wipe-ups for their face and their body in case they don't have access to that easily. I encourage Twizzlers, believe it or not. What we do is we ask people, when you ask somebody...
What about Skittles?
No. Twizzlers are individually wrapped.
I don't know what they are.
A Twizzler is a licorice, like a red licorice, and they're individually wrapped, and I always carry them. I may even have some I'll give you. Because when you're asking somebody to wash their hands because they're so busy and they forgot, and it's so uncomfortable to ask somebody to wash their hands, and you say, if you do it, I'll give you a Twizzler, they run to wash their hands. And it's just
I love it.
So that's bribery.
Surgeons and nurses, and you see them walking. When I'm with a patient, you see them all have Twizzlers in their pockets.
Because they're individually wrapped. Yeah, you buy them in Costco, the whole
wrapped. Right,
a
whole case.
In the box, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Should you bring your healthcare proxy?
You bring a healthcare proxy form. Yes, and we have them on our website. If you want, somebody just commented that ours are nice and framed. They're beautiful.
What is your website address?
It's Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, Center, C-E-N-T-E-R, 4, F-O-R, PulseCenterForPatientSafety.org. So it's PulseCenterForPatientSafety.org.
And I see you have the MULF.
We have the MULF,
which is very advanced.
Yes.
A lot of people don't even know about that. That's amazing. That's good for you.
Right. The medical
orders for life-sustaining treatment.
Yes.
But
we don't usually go over it, but when we do in our class, we want people to know that it
right.
exists.
Yeah.
The other thing we do is something called, we have Professionals for Patient Safety on the second Monday night of the month. We meet in Freeport. You don't have to be a medical professional. We've been meeting since 2014 at the Imperial Diner in Freeport.
What do you do?
It's the PPS meeting, we call it. It's people who want to just talk about patient safety or patient care.
Okay.
People can come, and we have sometimes pharmacists, doctors, nurses that are there, advocates that are there. This Monday night, we're going to be talking about the consent form. That's one of the topics.
Okay.
It's usually a small group, but it's dinner, $25. You pay for your own dinner, no other charges. But it's, you know, there's so many conferences around the country about patient care or patient safety that we figured let's just get together once a month and not have to wait for a conference to talk about what we can do in our own community.
I personally prefer the small sharing. You go to a conference with 300 people, you're in the audience, you get the best speakers in the world up
right.
there. Your mind drifts.
And then you have to go back and figure out how you're going to do what you learned to do with other people that weren't there. So it really is conversation. It's keeping patient. It's consumer safety. It's consumer safety, not just patient safety.
I want to ask you a question. What is the Living Will Registry?
Well, we don't get involved in that completely because it's not. But there's a website, the Living Will Registry. That's not my expertise. We would send people to maybe attorneys or a website for that. I don't know if that's not too helpful. But it is a conversation that we want to have.
Well, no, that is helpful because in a program like this, stuff like a Living Will, a healthcare proxy, and the MULF, that's really not ours to talk about. You really should go to the professional who's going to fill it out and sign it because it has to be witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
MULF, I think, has two witnesses plus the doctor has to witness it.
Right.
The Living Will, I think, has to have two signatures. You know, so it requires. Somebody might say, "Oh, I can do it, and I'll have my son and do this." And then, when the time comes, it's wrong. So
right.
That's
we want to be careful.
But should you also have your medical history in a folder when you go to the hospital?
Absolutely. We encourage the medical history, your medications, list of medications, and this is something a friend could do for somebody if they're talking about helping each other. If they're sick, if I found out I have to have surgery, will you help me? We want them to say immediately. Well, why don't I help you get your list of medications, your list of doctors, your list of friends? We also encourage talking about what foods you like, because if you're kosher, you're vegetarian, or you have diabetes and you can't eat sweets, all those different things should be on a list and ready, not just for the advocate or support person, but also ready to hand out for staff over and over again.
So you should make numerous copies of
yes. It. And people are surprised that when they go in for surgery, they're asked the same questions over and over again, and it gets annoying if you're nervous and you're tense. But that's why we want the support person.
Especially if you're in pain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely in pain.
And not that they're perfect understanding the interaction of certain drugs, but it is important to have them because if you forget one or two, they're going to give you something. Like nitrates don't interact something. I mean, I'm really not familiar, but I know enough to know that the doctor needs to know every pill you're on, especially if you wind up in an emergency room situation. But
right.
you should
and
have it with you.
If you start a new medication and you have a new symptom, it could be related to that.
Right,
so to have
too.
The conversation and the relationship with the pharmacist also, we have a program called a DMM, Designated Medication Manager. So if you're going into the hospital, going in for surgery, and I say, I want to help, what can I do? I really don't have a lot of time. You might want to say, well, could you just be my designated medication manager and just be in charge of my medications because I take so many? And that could be the only thing I focus on, where somebody else might focus on going to the hospital, getting meals together, drivers, who's going to drive somebody to the doctor's offices.
Yeah.
So there's different pieces that we put
together.
Can
you suggest a diplomatic way to ask a doctor or a nurse or an aide if they have washed their hands before they touch you?
Yes, they're supposed to do before they touch the patient. If you think of it this way, that hand washing is about respecting me, and now I could trust you. So it's not necessarily the germs, it's more about our relationship. So to say, I'm sure you did it already, I would just feel so much better if you did it again before you touch me.
That's a very good idea. I'm sure
you
did it
already. And I'll give you a
Twizzler.
But 9 out of 10 times, you'll know if they did it because they have to open the door to come into the room. Like anytime I'm with the doctor, then he washes his hand at the sink. Because even if he washed him outside, he's still using that dirty doorknob to come in to see me.
And touching things. They touch things. And they touch the pens, the clipboard. And
what should you be sure to get information on when you're discharged from the hospital?
Discharge is real important because there's a couple different things I'll touch on. When I'm with a patient at discharge and they're told they're getting pain medication, take your medication when you need it or take it twice a day. They're not being, the word opioid isn't being used. And there's an opioid crisis in this country that keeps being talked about, but patients don't always know that they're part of the opioid, that they're receiving an opioid, or they could become addicted or dependent. They need to have that conversation. Healthcare professionals need to say what the medication is, if they could become dependent or addicted, and then we ask about the advocate especially should be knowing if there's a follow-up care, what medications, what's the next appointment, how to take care of any wounds, any open wounds, and what an infection might look like if it's starting. So these are all things that...
That's very good.
They're very often given to somebody who's coming out of anesthesia, and that really is an issue.
Yet.
Right, so we have
because
to make
they're
sure...
they're not aware.
We may have to make sure someone's there.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, with drugs... which doesn't come up too often, is what organs that could be damaging. You know, because I've heard that from people. It's like, yeah, but is that hurting your liver? Is that hurting your kidneys? Because you could take something for so long, forget what it can do to your head.
Everything has side effects.
Right, consequences and side effects. I agree, Ruth. And therefore, all of a sudden, now the liver's going bad because you've been on something for 2 years.
Even some people who have died from taking aspirin.
Really?
Well, aspirin is, and I'm not a medical person, but I know I was taking a lot of ibuprofen for my back.
Okay.
And then when I had a nosebleed that wouldn't stop, it never occurred to me. My son said, Mom, you take so much ibuprofen in the hospital because I couldn't stop this nosebleed. And that causes bleeding and stops. So I didn't know that.
And yet that's a go-to drug.
Right. And this is a year. This isn't even 20 years ago. This is recently. And it never occurred to me that I ended up in the hospital for a nosebleed that wouldn't stop. I wasn't thinking about medication. They asked me what medication.
But you need to take something when you have very bad pain.
Right. But I also need to know, because this is not a warning that I'm reading or I'm up on. And this is why, thank goodness, my son was with me in the hospital.
You know what? Again, we're out of time. It flies.
It does. It's amazing.
It's wonderful.
It's almost like life.
It's the truth when you look back.
I know.
Eileen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, for sharing your knowledge with us. Obviously, I know you've been here a while ago, but I'm sure you'll be back quicker this time because what you're sharing is just so wonderful. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.